Chapter 4.
"We don't serve no food stamp customers," snarls the snippy little white boy clerk behind the counter at the Overly convenience market. All Daryl's trying to do is settle for his purchase of a chicken salad wrap, whatever the hell that is, some fancy bottle of dumb water shit, and a little package of two burger cookies that he always thought were overpriced and stale-tasting, even new. This place was once okay. He was here with Marcia in the past because her out-to-lunch daughter lived in the neighborhood, and they had broken into her van and stolen not only the whole bag of quarters she carried for parking meters, but her easy pass, too. Would Marcia come back here today? Maybe. He hoped so. He'd fuck her right in front of everybody if he had to. Anyway, this place used to take food stamps, even for toilet paper. Plus, they carried real soda, Royal Crown to be exact, and that wasn't easy to find even then. But now, oh no, they have to pretend they're rich or something.
"Since when did you stop taking perfectly good food stamps?" Daryl asks as that old familiar rage starts building inside him. "Since they switched to a food stamp card with a PIN number, dumbbell," the smart aleck employee answers with an attitude. "How's Daryl supposed to know food stamp rules? He's not on the dole. He works for a living. Stealing suitcases is a hard job, a trade, really, a craft this bumfuck clown could never, ever master. Section 8 shoppers like you who don't like our new decor usually go up to the Joppatown Royal Farms," the arrogant little prick adds with a superiority that begs to be smacked out of him. How dare he say the word decor to Daryl, right here in Overly? Who does Mr. Fancy Pants think he is? Richie Rich? Just as Daryl is about to reach across the counter, and boy, is this little pussy gonna wish they still had that old ghetto plexiglass protection, he sees local news anchor Denise Koch on WJZ-TV here in the store. Christ, how long has she been on? Since Charlie's Angels, he bets. Well, she still looks pretty foxy, but not as sexy as Marcia looks now on the screen in that old airport security footage the station dug up from how long ago? 5, 6 years? Looking all hot to trot on that wrinkled linen suit he can see her visible panty lines through. She'd just say that was his filthy imagination, but he's not imagining the first stirring of Old Faithful down below in his pants. Damn. Look at her moist, lying lips in that close-up of her at LaGuardia during those airport construction problems, when it was easy to snatch suitcases, even curbside, because passengers were so confused on where to meet their drivers. She's got to be going back to this neighborhood, Daryl thinks hornily, rubbing his dick. Where else could she go but her daughters? Yeah, they hate each other. He knows that. But still, they're family. Fucked up, but still family. "Hey, creep, hands off your cock," yells the new guy at Overly Convenience Market. And before Daryl can look away from the medium shot of Marcia, the news just cut to, that one that shows her cleavage, the clerk grabs a taser from under the counter and shoots Daryl right through his pants and into his balls. Daryl doubles over in electrified crotch agony, and when he tries to break his fall with his outstretched arm, he lands right on his wannabe hard-on. No, dear God, he thinks, tell me it's not possible to fracture your own penis. But it is, Daryl. It is. Marcia stands at the corner of Guilford and 21st. Peanut himself's cab is way too hot to risk using again. She needs fresh wheels, and she needs them now. It was easy to find a corner to herself in this neighborhood. The only hookers left were natural-born females, and these Johns weren't interested in them. Every once in a while, one who hadn't heard would pull over, but as soon as they sensed cisgender private parts, they'd pull off. Marcia has to pretend to be old-school pre-op if she ever wants a trick to stop. She tries imagining transitioning into another classy woman while still keeping her own cuckoo's nest below. She'd be Martha Stewart. Now there's a lady and a criminal. Marcia would undergo surgery any day if she could have Martha Stewart's head switched and transplanted onto her neck. She'd be even more grand then. Yes, sirree. Marcia Stewart, she'd call herself. There's a tasteful trans name if there ever was one. Same initials, too. Marcia looks through a couple of trash cans and finds an old wig.
God knows it's probably infested with lice, but once she shakes them out, she realizes they are dead, so technically it's safe to wear. Fashion doesn't come easy when you're on the run. As she slips it on, she sees it's at least her own color, brown, and the shoulder-length shaitel style favored by married Orthodox Jewish women who cover their own hair for religious reasons is one she's never been photographed in by the authorities. Had a hooker wig snatcher been loose in a Hasidic neighborhood where this style is still seen? Only in Baltimore. Only in Baltimore. She had found a stained tablecloth under a porch earlier and tied it around her in a way that actually looked like a sexy wrap dress. She'll have to keep her own shoes on, but those airport cops are all straight men, and they never know how to properly describe a woman's footwear anyway. She takes a small 12-ounce bottle of Dr. Pepper out of another garbage can and wedges it inside her delicate undies. After a little adjustment, it looks like her package. She sticks out her thumb. Daryl reaches down and grabs the taser barb left in his balls and tries to pull it out in one quick, painful movement, as if he were ripping a bandage off a cut. But this little fishhook is no fucking bandage, and it doesn't come out that easily. So he grabs it again and yanks it up just to get the jagged little head out from under the sensitive skin of his once-filled testicles. His shaft hurts like hell. It's bruised, swollen too, and he's horrified to see it's now bent and crooked. As they say in Baltimore, broke, went up. That little dart was like a bullet, and he doesn't want the punctures to get infected, so he pours the last drops of beer from a discarded can on his injury. Damn, that stings. But beer is liquor, isn't it? Alcohol is alcohol when it comes to disinfecting. Nowhere to buy peroxide when you're hiding under a bridge with a bunch of homeless guys. But wait a minute. These guys don't look like Bud the Chud types, which means they're sex offenders. Yep, he can see a couple of them have their puds in their hands pounding away. Oh, great. Just what he needs, more perverts to come between him and Marsha's vaginal payoff, especially when he's got injured balls and a goddamn broken dick. Marsha can't believe this preppy fuck of a man who claims to be straight just offered her $25 to blow her, parked in an alley off Cathedral Street, in his goddamn gunmetal gray Volvo that has to be at least 3 years old. She adjusts her Dr. Pepper penis inside her finely stolen underpants just to keep him excited until she can get hold of his car keys. Christ, he's wearing a wedding ring. This Brooks Brothers blowhard has a wife, and oh my God, there's a Gilman school sticker right inside his front dashboard window. He's got kids, too. There's even a lacrosse stick in the back seat. Wonder if his family knows he's been cruising for Adam's Apple Annie's up and down Cathedral Street on the way home from Leg Mason every night. That's right. He's a stockbroker, and he doesn't even try to hide his work folders lying right on the floor on Marsha's side of the car. And now this old money asshole is playing with himself through his pleated khaki pants in front of her. Mr. Bullmarket may want to go down, but this to the manor-born bastard must have been born yesterday. Marsha's like the stock market. She's going up, and he's going to pay. Eileen Warnos had the right idea. Now that it's out in his hand, Daryl realizes he needs a splint for his poor cracked penis. But where do you get medical supplies when you're down here? He sees one guy, roughly his age, who's not that ratty-looking. He's not talking to himself either, just sucking on a popsicle. Do good-humor men come down here ringing a bell? Watching an old portable TV that looks like it was left over from the 70s, hooked up to a portable battery-powered station. Daryl slowly and evenly walks over to him, trying not to chafe his exposed private parts. Oh, Christ. This guy's masturbating. To the Simpsons. Marge, to be specific. Oh, well. Daryl's got his own cock out, too. Maybe this guy will be sympathetic. Hey, buddy, Daryl yells in a bro-like voice, hoping a little humor will break the ice. Can you lend me a hand? Hey, it's the luggage guy, the whacker yells back with criminal respect. Christ, that old security footage must have been on every channel, Daryl thinks. But maybe here it will be a plus. He'd like to point out that he's not the luggage guy. He's the luggage master, Sexcalibur himself, who's first in line for Marsha Sprinkle's Royal Tunnel, but decides to keep these basic truths to himself. "Can I have that popsicle stick when you're done?" asked Daryl, as civilly as possible, considering the fact he's approaching another presumably heterosexual man when both of them have their penises exposed. "Looks like you broke your boner," the Simpsons wanker answers with a good-natured smirk as he slurps off the last hunk of flavored red ice from his frozen treat and hands it over. Daryl doesn't see anything that amusing about his fractured member, but accepts the piece of pink-stained birch, slaps his injured dick down on it, and wraps the whole package up with an old piece of shredded denim he found that was probably a pant leg cut off by one of the freaks here to make a pair of shorts. Securing the ligature with a discarded string of used dental floss that somehow got tangled in his shoelaces, Daryl looks up from his makeshift cast and thanks the guy. "Want me to sign it?" asks Mr. Jerkoff, trying not to be an actual jerk. "Why not?" reasons Daryl. "We're all in this together." Marge Simpson's number one fan whips out a black marker from a dollar store bag and writes the word pudding on the compress with as little pressure as possible. Pudding? That's his fucking name? Jesus. Daryl reaches down and painfully lifts up his now autographed, bandaged penile package and drops the wounded family jewels back down inside his new jockey shorts that the tickler pervert gave him. Good. He could use some support. Marsha has no clue what the private school dad John is talking about when he mentions muffing her as foreplay. Between pants of lust, he explains it's some sort of entering into the twin pockets within the male groin located between the scrotum and the testicles. Even if Marsha did have a penis, nobody is picking her pockets, no matter how much cash they have on hand, especially in a parked vehicle. She grabs him by the expensive haircut and shoves his head down towards her crotch as he moans in power surrender pleasure. But when she hikes up her makeshift dress, he's in for a surprise. The big surprise! Dr. Pepper! She grabs the plastic bottle and dick slaps him across the face with it. He's such a wuss that he's knocked out from the first strike. A female out-of-work prostitute who's been loitering for hours rushes over to help her sister in crime. They drag him out of the car and together insert the entire bottle of Dr. Pepper into his mouth sideways, a much bigger female joystick than he had hoped for. They go through his wallet and split the $120 between them. Marsha lets the lady hooker pull off his wedding ring to keep as some sort of romantic booby prize. They drag the unconscious body over to a trash can with some address spray-painted on it. A lot of good that did the original owners. And lean him up on it. Marsha gets creative and grabs the lacrosse stick from the back seat and props it up on him to complete the tableau. The jobless fille de joie slips on the ring and marries herself in some sort of twisted ceremony of self-delusion as Marsha gets in the car and peels off. Next stop, a family visit. Daughter dearest, here I come to rob you again.